the Eastern Cape, in our midst. I want to welcome all of you. Also then to welcome the leadership of Sarah Badman District, led by Executive Mayor Councillor Kekana. Also to welcome Salda, led by Councillor Stofile. We also have Councillor Koyo, the provincial chairperson, and Councillor Janda, who is the PEC member, including Councillor Bifan here, who is also Salda, Eastern Cape PEC member. Then we have the COO, Mr. Joel, and Sona with the PDO. We want to welcome you as well. The delegation of Dr. Bayef Nodi is led by Councillor Dion DeForce, who's the mayor. And then we have the MM in our midst, the acting CFO, the director information, and the chief audit executive is here, including the chairperson of MPEC. Then we are starting this meeting today with good and bad news. I think let me start with the good news, because the good news started before the bad news. The good news is that we have a new deputy minister in our midst, in the name of DM, Deputy Minister Tembing Kadime. So as this committee, we want to congratulate you on your new responsibilities. And we know you are going to execute your responsibilities. We've seen you taking the oath, saying that you are going to make sure that this district development model becomes a reality. So we want to congratulate you as a committee on your appointment. We want to wish you well in your endeavors. Congratulations, DM Nkadimeni. You are welcome to the meeting as our DM. Then the bad news.
Can we see it?
You want to see it?
Yes, we're very excited to have her in our midst.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you all the members.
Okay. They can see the DM. They wanted to see the
congratulations, DM. At least you know us here in this committee.
Yeah, I know you very well.
Yeah, congratulations, Bogoto.
Thank you very much. Thank you very
much. We've also seen your walk in black. Mm. You are about to be sworn in. Next to the former speaker. Welcome.
Okay. Can we progress now? She's here. She's with us. And she knows the committee. It's fine. Welcome, DM Nkadime. Then, at the same time, I should think, over the weekend, it was a shock and sorrow that is also as the committee, we then learned that and received the bad news that the CEO of Salda's wife, Mrs. Wungiwe George, passed on. And I think of this committee, we need to say this, Councillor Stofile and leading the Salga delegation, including you, COO, Mr. Joel, that as a committee, our hearts and hands want to reach out to the CEO and his entire family. And as this committee, we both know that losing a wife, if one can say that it's a life partner, is beyond cruel. And we can imagine how trying this is for Mr. George, who was speaking. And then as a committee, we're again reaching out to offer our love and support to the CEO, including his family and the entire Salda family. So can you then kindly receive our heartfelt condolences as the portfolio committee. We'll be sending a condolence note that you will personally hand over to the CEO as you visit him during the day. So we want to convey our heartfelt condolences to our CEO, Mr. George, and his entire family, including the Salga community. Having said that, can we just take a minute, moment of silence in honor of Ms. Wongiwe, George colleagues? May her beautiful soul continue to rest in peace. Thank you, colleagues. Having said that, today's meeting, you will recall, colleagues, it was scheduled for the 1st of June 2021 when the committee met with the municipalities in Sara Batman District. And then you'll recall that Dr. Bayes Nodi, local municipality, was not part of the engagement because it was hosting a technical team, task team, that was deployed by the South African Local Government Association to help the municipality out of its quagmire. We agreed to defer the engagement to allow the task team space to develop its detailed support plan for the municipality. The team should now be in a position to update this committee on the progress that they've made thus far. During our last meeting with the municipality on the 19th of August 2020, we then expressed our concerns around the municipality's consecutive disclaimed audit opinions 2018-19, 2017-18, and 2016-17 financial years. Though the municipality has improved to a qualified audit opinion in 2019-20 financial year, this is not the standard of the excellence we can proudly celebrate. We have also been noting that since its inception during the 2016 demarcation cycle, the municipality has been under increasing financial pressure and has realize continuous financial losses. We also understand that the municipality is a casualty of a poorly managed demarcation process. However, the AG has indicated that there were also limited or no assurance provided by the senior management, the municipal manager, the mayor, and the audit committee, the internal audit unit, and the Municipal Council and the Municipal Public Accounts Committee. And then the AG has been of the view that intervention was required to improve the status of the municipality's internal control drivers. The other issue that the AG has pointed out is that intervention was also required in respect of the key risk areas such as the quality of submitted financial statements, including performance information, supply chain management, information technology, and human resource management. And the AG is of the view that the root causes of these weaknesses has actually been attributed to a lack of compliance monitoring tools, lack of record management that is efficient and organized, including lack of consequence management for poor performance and transgression, as well as the lack of filling in the key vacancies that were there. While we also agree that the municipality's amalgamation processes could have been handled better, we foresee no drastic improvement in the municipality's state of governance unless all the key role players provide the required levels of assurance unless we pay attention to the internal control drivers and risk areas, as well as we address the root causes as the issues that we like to see the municipalities speaking in greater details. Having said that, I should think, let me allow both the two MECs from the province to say something before we receive the presentation. I'll allow the MEC for Cocta, MEC Tolile Ngaka, to be the first one to start. Then it will be followed by MEC for Finance, MEC Mboko. Then we'll go straight to Salda presentation. Then it will be the municipality itself. But if it's a joint presentation, we're amenable to that as well. Over to you, MEC for Cocta in the province.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to you. Good morning to honorable members, the minister, the deputy minister. Congratulations to Deputy Minister Ngadumeng for her appointment, and looking forward to working with her and to getting the support that we need as provinces. And greetings to the leadership of SALGA, my colleague, Ms. Mboko, HODs that are here, the DG and DGs that are present. Good morning. Thanks, Honorable Chair, for this opportunity. And we're looking forward to the presentation. For any, you know, breakthrough that is likely to emerge out of the processes, you know, in Beas Noordé municipality, will help us in a way, even though the challenges of municipalities are not exactly the same. But we're hoping to draw some lessons in attending to some of the challenges that are confronting other municipalities in the province. And on that point, Honorable Chair, to just appreciate the opportunity that the committee has once again afforded us to appear before the committee. And thanks very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much, MEC Mata. MEC Mboko?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning to the Honorable Members, my colleague, MEC Ngata. Congratulations to the Deputy Minister and welcome. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I have taken note of the comments you made regarding the amalgamation that didn't go well. Fortunately, at that point in time, I was closer to Beas Noordé than what I am today. It is one of those issues that will haunt us for a long time to come if the situation in Beas Noordé is not corrected. They need all the support, and I think from the side of Provincial Treasury, we have continuously engaged with them to try and assist them in some of the other areas where there are serious challenges. So thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and I appreciate being invited into this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Councillor Stosile, I would like you to be the one that takes the lead on this matter now. Over to you, Sargan.
Thank you very much, Chair, and greetings to the committee.
How so are we? We are talking to the right person. Can we see you? We want to be sure.
You want to be sure, Chair?
Yes.
Let me try to do this thing properly. I think you can see me now, Chair. We are talking to the right person, not in from the Bundus. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for the...
Where have you gone to now? You are not from the Bundus like me, but where have you gone to? Because you came in and disappeared. We want to see you throughout the presentation. You must learn from the DM and the two MECs. They've been very visible.
Yes, no. The problem is problem of network. I know people that are living in Bundus, they are always struggling with networks. Yeah, thank you very much once again to the committee and two MECs that are here. And DM, newly appointed Deputy Minister, yes, indeed, we really take kind of your words on the situation that the association is facing, wherein we have lost, the CEO, we have lost one of his pillar of strength, and we are really undergoing a serious strain as an organization. However, we've got a responsibility to shoulder on and move on with the responsibilities that are given to us. And that is why we decided to honor this long outstanding appointment with the committee to share some thoughts and views with regard to what is happening in local government sphere. I think you are going to get a presentation from us today, Chair, on the basis of the feedback on our request that we have made with regard to Dr. Bias Nodier. Our understanding of the situation, always we coin it as deciding to put grave sites together with the hope that there will be solutions out of the grave sites, whereas we don't give a sufficient support in making sure that those grave sites are tend to be a better site for living by human beings and communities that are seeking to render service to them. And of course, over the last couple of days, we have had interaction with the MEC in the Eastern Cape. We're really thankful for the enthusiasm and the open frankness from the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, including Treasury in that province, in facing and dealing with the challenges that Dr. Bias Nodier is facing today. You'll get an example, Chair, for instance, of the project gone wrong in Dr. Bias Nodier, for instance, where today that municipality is facing to pay a huge amount of money on the basis of a case that is referred to be a KISS case, which took place even before the amalgamated situation the municipality is facing. And you'll get some details of our thoughts about what we have picked up and what we are suggesting and what our interaction between ourselves and the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in the province of the Eastern Cape. In fact, you'll get how could you better manage and better deal with matters that are affecting municipalities such as Dr. Bias Nodier, including matters pertaining to those amalgamated municipalities that are facing difficulties today as we sit here and have this conversation. And of course, you'll get some our view in terms of how do we then work together as government responsible to render service to our communities, and how do we partner in making sure that we turn things around in the municipal space so that communities at the end of the day, they do get what they voted for in terms of service, in terms of leadership, in terms of at least guaranteed future going to get in our perspective insofar as the work that we've done and in Dr. Bias Nodier. Once again, thank you very much. And we really appreciate the opportunity given to us, and we are looking forward to partner for a lasting solution on the challenges that are faced by local government sector in South Africa. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Sofina. Over to you, Mr. COO, Mr. Joyce.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and also greetings to yourself and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister of Cooperative Governance, and the MECs for COCTA and Treasury, respectively, from the Eastern Cape Province, the the Salga leadership as well as the leadership from the municipality and colleagues from COCTA nationally, provincially, and from within Salga, as well as other participants. Well, Chairperson, again, we would want to start by expressing our appreciation that the committee thought it prudent to give us an opportunity to interact with the Dr. Beyers Nodea Municipality and Salga with a view to see to what extent we can be, as an association of municipalities, be of assistance through direct support in the form of multidisciplinary support to this municipality. And so the background that I will briefly sketch, Honorable Chairperson, which I'm sure the municipality will provide much more detail on, is that we are seized with a municipality that is the creation of the former Kamdebo, Ikwezi, and Babians local municipalities, and together created this new monster of a municipality following the 2016 elections. And when you look at the makeup of these three municipalities jointly, it is almost half of the district municipality itself. So a single municipality makes up nearly half of the district. And whilst there is a low population level across the municipality, it cuts across a very huge land space. Also, the reality is that people are sparsely populated across the municipalities, and we have this unfortunate reality that the amalgamation process has merged three small municipalities with a very limited rate base, and even becoming more financially unviable. And we now also have the 27 councillors that find expression across this 28,600 square kilometres, having to cover much more ground that you would find in other municipalities across the country. But also an important point that we would want to make is that when one looks at Treasury's financial distress costs, it shows that there has been no improvement or change in the state financial status of this municipality pre and post the amalgamation. And when you look at the financial position of this municipality, the Chairperson, as at merger, so when we hit 3 August 2016, this is what Dr. Beyers Nodea inherited. Debt across these different role players and totaling 65 million rands. And that is as at the date of amalgamation. The picture, unfortunately, has become worse since then. And then we will highlight why that is the case. If we compare the pre to post amalgamation audit outcomes picture, you can see pre the amalgamation in 2016, we had two of the municipalities, Kamdebo and Babians, being fairly stable from a financial management point of view, but we unfortunately had one municipality in Ikwezi that has shown that it has not been able to manage its finances. And that, as a consequence, Chairperson, sees what happens post the amalgamation. So the first 3 years of the amalgamation, this municipality has found itself in serious financial difficulties and has seen disclaimers. And only in the last audited year, being the 1920 financial year, that they achieve a qualified audit outcome. And our engagement shows that there is a lot that has been done both politically and administratively to move this municipality towards a qualified and indications are that they are well on track to really improve their audit outcomes going forward. Now, what has happened, Chairperson, is that at the time when the municipality was indeed invited together with the district to the portfolio committee, we had already set up time to meet with this municipality. So the executive committee of the municipality, there being an executive system, the executive committee met with the Isalga delegation at the political level to discuss the issues around the amalgamation, the water crisis, the challenges around electricity distribution with a focus on the debts owed to Eskom, and then lastly also the court cases that Councillor Stofile has referred to and its impact on this municipality. Ultimately, it was agreed that it would be necessary for these challenges to be unpacked and that a related program of action should be developed to assist this municipality going forward. So we have met at a technical level, we have impacted issues, and there is a draft program of action that was developed in the end of June. But there are four challenges, Chair, that I had highlighted in an earlier slide that this municipality is seized with. And when one unpacks the key challenges, let's start with the amalgamation. What has become evident in the short time that we have spent with this municipality is that a report that was developed prior to the amalgamation itself confirms that there is no evidence that the amalgamation will make this municipality, this newly established municipality, viable. Secondly, that despite the fact that the intention was to create a financially viable municipality, that has to date not materialized as this municipality continue to have financial constraints. The third area is that whilst as part of the amalgamation processes, transition committees, management committees at both a political and a technical level, have been created, they have just not been functional. And therefore, the anticipated processes to ensure a successful amalgamation could not be unfolded because of those weaknesses. What has also become clear is that whilst at the point of amalgamation, one could determine the debt that has been inherited by this municipality, it became fairly evident thereafter that there were a number of liabilities and assets that were not disclosed by the former municipalities, and those have brought on huge financial burdens to this municipality. And whilst this municipality, Chairperson, what baffles us is that whilst this municipality has 27 councillors, only the mayor and the speaker are serving in a full-time capacity. So a municipality that makes up almost half of the district, just under 30,000 square kilometers, only has a mayor that is full-time and a speaker that is full-time. So the day-to-day running politically is done by a single person as the mayor, where the speaker has really a different role from an oversight point of view. So these have all contributed, Chairperson, to the current state of this municipality post-amalgamation. On the electricity space, the municipality continues to experience funding constraints, particularly around implementing capital projects. There is continued vandalism and theft on the infrastructure. The electricity collection from a revenue point of view is sitting at 70%, Chairperson, and we are seeing them sitting with 161 million owed to Eskom for bulk electricity. So they find themselves in a hole, in a very difficult space, and there is much to be done to assist them around playing that electricity distribution role. For the water and sanitation space, they have been hit by a drought, which has impacted on the water delivery across the municipality, as well as the quality of water. They are currently having a daily shortfall of 4.2 milliliters. So therefore, they are constantly on a go slow from the extension of water services to its communities. The bylaws themselves are outdated and need to be revisited. The water, the master plan needs to be revisited. The aging infrastructure needs to be looked into, and then similar to the electricity distribution space, there is lots of vandalism and on the infrastructure. On the legal front, the litigation register is sitting currently with 41 cases, 11 of them on the assessment done by the team shows that they will have financial implications for this municipality, and a majority of these cases, Jefferson, is coming from the former municipalities. So it is what cases that this newly established municipality has inherited. If you look at the financial statements for the 1920 financial year, they have spent on legal costs 1.8 million. A small municipality having spent just under 2 million on legal costs to try and defend these matters that they have inherited. And as Councillor Stofile has indicated, there is one matter that has become very pronounced. It is a matter that was inherited from the former Ikwezi municipality, and the judgment that was pronounced in April this year is against the municipality to the tune of 3.9 million rands. In fact, it is a few rand short of 4.4 million rands on one legal case where damages have to be paid by this municipality as a direct consequence of what has happened prior to the amalgamation itself. And there are similar matters that this municipality has to deal with. So when we look at assisting this municipality, the program of action that we have developed, which we will share with the committee, is that we will provide support across the four functional areas, water and sanitation, energy and electricity, waste management, and around key aspects of the amalgamation. And then finance and legal matters will find expression across all of these four functional areas. So we would look at what the financial implications are on the water and sanitation space, energy and electricity space, and the waste management space, and similarly, what legal issues are emerging out of each of those functional areas. When we look at anticipated outcomes, once we have executed the program of support to this municipality, we are anticipating four key outcomes around the amalgamation. It's firstly an understanding of what is the rationale and what was the rationale behind the amalgamation process, because clearly what was intended has not been delivered. Secondly, we need to look at what remains outstanding to ensure that the amalgamation processes are duly finalized so that this municipality can then move on as a newly established municipality. The third area is to look at what has been the cost linked to the amalgamation itself and whether there has been appropriate funding given to this municipality to cover the cost of the amalgamation. And the cost, Jefferson, on the face value is huge, and it's in excess of 20 million. And then lastly, Jefferson, going forward, we would want to also use this to prepare ourselves as the MDB is going to embark on a process to redetermine municipal boundaries post the upcoming local government elections, so that we can go into that process perhaps sober up the MDB on the impact of the decisions that they are making with regards to municipal boundary redetermination and areas that they are not considering when those decisions are made, using the Dr. Bayes Mathier example, to perhaps try and avoid similar instances going forward. And as I said, finance and legal will find expression across the areas. On the water and sanitation function, we would want to make the municipality executing that function more sustainable. We also want to look at appropriate funding mechanisms, particularly to focus on the infrastructure improvements. We would also spend time with a view to ensure that we have updated the bylaws and all related matters, but also perhaps spend a bit more time around enforcement mechanisms to be introduced so that the bylaws themselves can be living documents and in fact could be used by the municipality to deliver the function on a more sustainable basis. Also, what we would want to do is create platforms for knowledge sharing around areas so that this municipality could also learn from other municipalities, but also vice versa on how to deal with drought-related issues. And then we would also look at the master plan for water and also focus on operations and maintenance plans to ensure that the delivery of the service is more sustainable. Similarly, on the energy and electricity front, whilst yes, there would be a focus to reduce the ESCOM debt, but also perhaps as the municipality has a solid case for a counterclaim against ESCOM for the use of its infrastructure, we would also be looking at improving the institutional delivery mechanisms. Similarly, look at improving the bylaws and the enforcement, and then also ensure that there's a proper running of the electricity business as a business that brings in money and revenue for the municipality to then cross up so that other services within the municipality. On the waste management front, again, we would be looking at exploring funding mechanisms, also run the waste management as a business. So across all of the three areas, the trading services areas, electricity, water, waste management, what we intend doing, Chairperson, is to do a proper assessment on whether the municipality is properly structured to execute each of those functions. Are they properly capacitated to execute those functions as a business with a solid revenue stream that could then be used to cross-subsidize all other non-revenue services. So as we are marching towards the implementation of the Program of Action, Chairperson, we have made some good strides at a technical level. We have engaged, we have finalized it. We've also sought approval at a political level, and last week the full council met and formally approved the program of action. We are now in the space of engaging stakeholders to partner with us in the execution of this program, and we are quite excited. Chairperson, as earlier indicated, we have already had the benefit of meeting with the MEC of COCTA and the COCTA team at the provincial level, and we're excited to say that there is agreement that we must jointly look at implementing this program of action and provide joint multidisciplinary support to this municipality. And we intend to engage other role players similarly, Chairperson, so that we can have all hands on deck and take a partnership approach in supporting this municipality. And the intention is to, while some of the work has started, to go full-blown into implementation mode from the 1st of September. And hopefully, march towards the elections with some good progress that will be made in turning around the state of affairs of this municipality. So, Chairperson, that is our presentation, and it's really for the committee to note the progress that has been made to provide support to this municipality, but also to note that there is indeed a partnership approach between ourselves, Provincial COFTA, and Treasury towards providing support to this municipality. And that is our presentation, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Duane. Can we then allow the municipality to comment? Councillor Lafos?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also take the opportunity to observe all the protocols. Let me appreciate the committee, our MECs in the province, MEC Mbokon, MEC Nata, our colleagues and Association SADA, its leadership, for the opportunity again. I think in most of the challenges has been raised through the SADA presentation. We did also prepare a presentation, Chairperson. I am not sure whether you would want us to do that presentation, but I think in broadly, SADA has already raised the challenges which we are facing. Much of the other surrounding issues are not necessarily within the presentation. You will recall the last time when I appeared here before the committee. I know the members of your committee were very demoralized after the presentation, so much that there wasn't many questions to ask, because I did sketch the situation we came to inherit when we went into Payes Nogia. With your permission, Chairperson, if you allow, we do have a presentation, but I wouldn't want us to repeat what has already been mentioned. I know you have said in your opening remarks, Chair, we may have moved to a qualified audit, and that is not an acceptable standard. We fully agree with you. I was saying the last week when we also presented at another platform in relation to payers, ours is not to defend anything which is being said by the AG. Instead, we are prepared and ready to deal with the issues which have been raised by the Auditor General in its report. I only would like to, except for the amalgamation process, I think it needs to be re-emphasized. What were the other areas surrounding the municipality which are not covered in actual presentations? And I want to repeat them here so that we have a broader picture of just understanding the environment even at the establishment which we were inheriting. When we were inaugurated and this municipality established, Ikwezi was at a total collapse. I think I need to emphasize that. Ikwezi was totally collapsed and Bavians was under a service delivery lockdown. There was no services delivered. All the plant and equipment were locked up. Sewage were running in the street. No leadership at administrative level. And it was just a total collapse of governance when we inherited. Those were the instabilities under which we were also inaugurated in 2016. In Ikwezi, 3 months before the elections and so on, the salaries of that institute, of the staff there, has already been paid for 3 months by the district municipality. That were the conditions under which we went into this new municipality. Two collapsing institutions, a total lack of labor relations were totally absent. And the senior staff in some of these municipalities were nowhere. They did not have top management in some of these municipalities. So those were the other surrounding conditions under which we went into this municipality, except for the issues raised by Lance through his presentation. So I don't want to use that as justification for the areas which have been raised in the AG's report, but it is just to reemphasize at what level we started and the efforts we have tried to put in, notwithstanding those areas where we could have done better in relation to implement. I know MEC Mvoko have always said COPRA should take responsibility for not having ensured that this process have been done more properly and so on. I'm not sure, Chairperson, what we do every presentation as well as the action plan in relation to the audit outcomes. I'm not sure whether you would want us to make that presentation if it was your permission. Then I would really want to ask my officials to put it up. Let me also use the opportunity to congratulate our former president and the deputy minister. I think we did do that through our own channels, but I think it's just a privilege to do it on this platform also. So we fully agree with the presentation of SAGA, and we want to thank them for coming down to us and engaging with us directly. And we highlight and we make presentations to them. We did submit you a comprehensive document, Honourable Chairperson, which we forwarded to your good officers through the administration. In those documents which we submitted to yourselves, there is a state of the municipality report which we have forwarded to yourselves. Also, the 2021-22 MTERF adopted budget assessment report we have forwarded to your officers. We also forwarded the audit action plan for the 2019-2020 audit outcomes, and then the engagement with SAGA, which have now been presented by Mr. Jewell, the committee. I would not want to without your permission on whether we should put up a presentation or the action plan on the audit outcome, if you would allow that, Chairperson. Thank you.
I would like you to deal with the action plan, but in short, because the matters as raised by Lance still remain the same. And then, colleagues, can I also remind you that DCOC, Eastern Cape Coopta, and Provincial Treasury, they sent us their presentations, and they were included in the presentation of 1st June. You recall, it's only Dr. Bayes-Nodi that we didn't deal with. But when they were there at the time, I asked them not to touch on the Bayes-Nodi matters, if we recall collectively. So I think then DCOC, Eastern Cape Coopta, and Eastern Cape Provincial Treasury will now zoom out on those things out of their presentation for the 1st of June when we're dealing with all the municipalities in the Sarah Batman. And then under the circumstances, as the mayor has requested, then maybe let me allow Eastern Cape Coopta first to zoom in on those issues, then followed by Provincial Treasury, then DCOC, then we'll decide as the time progress whether the team from Dr. Nodbeyers may be present on their audit action plans. But those matters are not meant for us. As long as we have the plan, what we can emphasize is that, Mayor DeVos, you must make sure that those plans are not just paper that gets folded and put in cupboards. They need to be implemented so that when we come in the end of the financial year, because if you do implement those things, then your audit outcome is going to improve. What is exciting, having listened to both the MECs for COPTA and Treasury, they've taken a posture and a view that they need to have a hands-on support on this municipality, which we appreciate, colleagues. So basically, that's it. Then I'll allow HOD Fani, if you are ready, to zoom in on those matters of of Dr. Bayes-Nodi, and then the same thing, Provincial Treasury will do the same. then DDG Themba Fusi will deal with the matters as well. I'll request a secretary to again send those presentations to the colleagues if they are not at their disposal, so that they can also be able to look at that. So basically, is it over to you, HOD Fanny?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to all MECs, the Deputy Ministers, and the Honorable Members. Can I ask the Chair, with your permission, Acting DDG Charity to proceed with the presentation?
It's okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. I just want to show my face there. Okay. Can you see me,
yes.
Honorable Chairperson?
Yes, I can see. Okay.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Can I close it now?
Yes, you can proceed.
Okay. Thanks, ma'am. Sure. Honorable Chairperson, in respect of the presentation for the personal year, we will just zoom into matters that are related to the support that the department has given to the municipality. If you can allow, because the presentation is basically contains matters that were presented earlier on. I want to share the screen now. Okay. Is it visible, Honorable Chairperson?
No, not yet. You're busy loading now. There we go. Sure.
Okay, thanks, ma'am. In light of the fact that there's a presentation that was made by SALGA and the content is very much closer to what we have presented, I'll just go into the last slides where we are indicating the support that we have given to the municipality. Suffice to say, Honorable Chairperson, on the matters related to political and governance issues, the stability is there in the municipality, and also in relation to institutional matters, the Section 57 managers and all HR matters are being attended to by the municipality. And the provincial treasurer might want to touch on financial issues, but also in respect of service delivery, we've made an indication on the how the municipality is performing in respect to a MIG expenditure. But the presentation is with the honorable members. The only slide that I would like to talk to is this one, that as a department, we've supported the municipality in the, as much as the money might appear to be minimal, but we are just making an indication to the committee that we did support the municipality by paying an amount to the tune of 11 million towards ESCOM debt. We've also supported, Honorable Chairperson, the municipality in and to review its organogram. The current organogram that is there was the effort of the department working together with SALGA, of course, and also the municipality. Then we've got a program in the department in its endeavor to support municipality. The department is partnering with quite a number of other stakeholders, your DPSA, for non-lending support that would not warrant the municipality to take a loan, but to give hands-on support in areas where they are needed, and also your NBI. So Dr. Beas Nodier is one of the municipalities that we have supported in terms of the application to make sure that it gets a package that will be assisted on. Then in terms of Beas Nodier, there were 10 applications that were made by the municipality to the committee of NBI, the department, and also DPSA. There were 10 projects, and 5 of the projects were since assessed as a department, and they've been approved. Those projects are projects related to electrical infrastructure master plan that the municipality is going to be supported on, your water and sanitation master plan, your local special development framework, human settlement sector plan, your land audit in areas, town and urban areas. Out of the 10 projects, 5 were approved and then the other 5 were not approved. They fall out of the scope of the partnership that we're having with ODBSA and NPI. And then in respect of the hands-on support, we are saying we've analyzed the financial management for 9 municipalities, and Dr. Beyers Nodier has been included and will be offered a support in respect of revenue management, your SCM, your asset management, and your records management. These are the issues that when we were looking at the generally at the AG's report and the issues that were raised by AG that were making these municipalities to be qualified, one key issue is the issue of records management. So therefore, we've decided that let us elevate certain municipalities that will be the first ones to benefit from this kind of support. So there were some documentation that had to be submitted for us to assess and also to recommend for the support. We are happy to say Dr. Beyers Nodier is one of those municipalities that have submitted the required information. And then a draft capacity program has been developed that will include action learning or training, group coaching, implementation of the action plans, monitoring, and there will be visits that will be done. All of this that is reflected in the far right column is the work that is going to be done in respect to those aspects that I've highlighted above, the revenue management, your SCM support, your asset management, and records management. So Dr. Beyers Nodier, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, is going to be benefiting from that hands-on support. We will be even having warm bodies that will be deployed there, seconded there, to assist the municipality, take them hand by hand, hand to hand, and in coaching and in supporting in all those areas and also the projects that I've highlighted above. Basically, that's Honorable Chairperson, which you wanted to raise as a support to the municipality. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Sister Charity. MC Mvoko, I was not given a name of an official. Maybe then, yeah. MC Mvoko.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Chair.
I was not given the name of the officials, unlike the COCTA officials that are always with us now. You know, I even know them now. The presentation?
It will be done by DDG Ngadolo, who's in the meeting.
Okay, thank you, MEC. Charity, can you remove your presentation so that DDG Ngadolo can proceed? Remove your presentation, Charity, from the screen.
Good morning, Chairperson, the honorable members, the MEC and the DGM.
Bulelo, can we see you, DDG, please?
You want to see me?
We do. There we go.
Can you see me now?
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson, the honorable members, both from the Portfolio Committee, from the Executive and the MECs. I'm here as a DDG responsible for Municipal Financial Governance and Provincial Treasury. I'm here, the HOD is here, HOD Macheke. I'm here with the Mr. Kwija, who is the director responsible for the Sarah Bartman district from a provincial treasury. I'm here with Mr. Nchengila, who is also a director responsible at head office, and also the deputy director at Sarah Bartman. Chairperson, Mr. Kwija, go straight to the area of support for, because we presented the overall. In terms of the just go to Dr. Beyers support only. Chairperson, this is Dr. This is what we prepared. Everything else is covered by both Salga and Charity and Mrs. Unu as well, working as a multidisciplinary team in the province. We have got an MOU on which we work on when we deal with municipalities to avoid one going there today and the other one the other day, so that we don't create confusion to municipalities. With Delta Bayers, Honourable Chairperson, the budget for them is unfunded. But every support, because of the issues that have been raised that are inherited, we have worked with the municipality trying to work to assist them towards a funded budget. The issues that result in that unfunded budget are more towards inability to raise the revenue. So we've helped them to develop a turnaround plan that they need to implement, because in most cases, municipalities will develop that budget turnaround plan just to get an equitable share, and it's not being implemented. We are going to assist them hands-on in terms of implementing it and also reporting on a monthly basis to National Treasury for them to be able to get the equitable share in December. So we've done a workshop on MScore so that they can capture their data strings on the local government database at National Treasury. We provided immediate feedback reports in terms of our analysis of the Section 71 reports on the performance and quality of reports that where we have identified some gaps. Also, we've got engagement at the CFO level and trained the BTO in a coordinated approach to the district and through the district champions. Also, as Treasury, we are serving in their district board, because our interest is to address the irregular expenditure that is there at the municipality, some of it inherited as the executive mayor indicated earlier on. So we support to assist municipality to in terms of analysis and investigation of the high irregular expenditure, and also the significant write-offs of the irregular expenditure. What is picked up, the Honourable Chairperson? We try to assist the municipalities through EMPEX and the district board to do investigation. It mustn't be about the write-off. There must be an investigation and then consequent management, which is what in most municipalities is not working. We've had sessions with the EMPEX and the district board. One of the sessions was, I think, on the 10th of April, where we're running a workshop. The next one is going to be on the 5th of September, because we want to see where for the target of the clearing of these irregular expenditures. So we support, we do support also to Dr. Bayers around that. We also support them in terms of training on SCM and risk management to make sure that we also participate in the forums where the Treasury will be facilitating those sessions. We also assist the municipality in terms of the development of a financial recovery plan, working together as this multidisciplinary team, because we want to see that there is an engagement at that level. Also, we support the municipality in terms of now of developing an agreeable and manageable repayment plan to the ESCOM debt and other creditors. We had a session with COGTA and Treasurer last week to deal with the repayment of the debt and also the affordability of the repayment plans by the municipalities with ESCOM. What we do is to do analysis of their budget and the cash flow to see how they can afford, rather than being imposed to pay a certain amount with ESCOM and other creditors. Also, we assisted municipality to be where it is. The executive mayor always does recognize that support that we do as a treasurer. Otherwise, everything else, Chairperson, is covered for the sake of time by the presentation by both COGTA and SALGA as we work together as a team. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, DG Buleno. Then can we go direct to DDG Fosi from DCOC?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to all the honorable members of the committee, the MECs, and our Deputy Minister. Congratulations and welcome, Deputy Minister. the leadership of SALGA. Honorable Chair, I'm not going to fly the presentation, just to raise few issues which in support of the presentation that has been made by SALGA and the provincial coctor and provincial treasurer. As firstly, an issue, Chair, which I know that the committee has been seized with the concerns that have been raised around the issues of redetermination of municipal boundaries. I think it's the appropriate time to actually use Bayer's Nodia as a case study that must inform the whole sort of process, review of the whole process around the redetermination of municipal boundaries. To an extent that those discussions must begin to look at the issues of criteria, to look at the issue of the support to ensure that these municipalities, after the pronouncement or proclamations, we have clear plans of how we're going to make them more sustainable going forward. And I think the matters of Bayers have been articulated very well in terms of the challenges. That's why I'm saying we need to think of it as a case study which can then begin to focus on the overall review. The only matter, Chair, from our side, over and above the support that the COCTA is providing in terms of the MISA teams that are working with the municipalities in the district, and the funding that we're providing on the upgrading of roads, CWP support in terms of recruitment and managing participants. We are working with the province now to ensure that all this support that is provided is located within the district development model. Because the matters of Bayers Nodiers cannot be resolved by Bayers Nodiers alone. It requires all of government to provide the support in the context of the work that must be done in the district, the relationship of the district and the support the district is providing to its locals, and the relationship with the other locals within that district. So the DDM provides then a framework within which we can ensure that all other sectors from national, provincial, can have clear commitments on how overall we're going to be driving development in this district. My colleagues, Chair, from MISA are also here. I'm not sure if they want to add, but we'll continue to work with SALGA, with the province, to ensure that there's one sort of plan that deals with the development of the district and all its locals. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, colleagues. Thank you, DDG Fosin. I think we need to just go straight to members, having received all this presentation, because the only critical presentation that was remaining was the SALGA one. And we want to also appreciate the work that you have done, SALGA, in that regard. Indeed, when you said we must give you space and time, one is damn excited to see the product that you have actually produced. We want to appreciate you for that. And the good work that the two colleagues, the two MECs that they are doing. I think then if we can start to infuse this district development model, and maybe we pilot it in all these amalgamated municipalities, we are destined to see good results in terms of concerted effort and support to all these municipalities. Because what was also a worrying factor is when this amalgamation are done and then the resources don't follow the function. Because that was the other issue here. The monies that were provided was on a sliding scale. And then that money got exhausted in only dealing with the HR issues, because also the structures were different. And there's no way that these municipalities were going to downgrade officials that were earning more in another municipality.
And then when that such happens, officials who are on the inheriting municipality will also demand equal pay because they are doing the same job. And then that money in most areas, it's got depleted only on salaries, and that is not even sustainable because in other areas, other municipalities are forced to retrench workers. So I should think we need to learn lessons out of this as well. But let me allow colleagues who want to talk on this matter to raise their hands. For now, I'm only seeing the hand of Honorable Mukalipi, who will be followed by Honorable Cornevald. The other colleagues, Honorable Brink and Honorable Spies, are currently attending their caucus meeting. I hope they will find us here when they come back. But nevertheless, and then three hands thus far. It will be Honorable Mukalipi, Honorable Cornevald, followed by Honorable Keza. In that order, over to you, Honorable Mukalipi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Hey, Chairperson, let me change my video. I know that all of you here, Chair, you are fighters, but let us, where is the background now? But we must respect the decorum of the house. Yeah, here we go, Chair. Thanks very much. It looked like Dr. Beas Nodia's problems are many, Chair. You know, when I look at the presentation by the COO of SALGA, I was taken aback by this amalgamation processes, Chairperson. And I will think that we need to get more clarity in terms of the preparation for MDB processes that will embark on the post-elections to redetermine the municipal boundaries. So I think that the COO must clarify this. What he meant by this slide here is he saying that this thing of amalgamation didn't work for Dr. Speyers Nodie. I'm saying this, Chair, because I'm sure in all presentation, it's also been stipulated that one of the reasons why this municipality is having such problems is because they also inherited some of the debt from former municipalities, and it's a lot of money. So therefore, I remember we had this discussion at the portfolio committee with other municipalities saying that it looked like when municipalities are amalgamated, it does not yield exactly results that are pursued, that it will be yield. So I just want to get a clarity from my COO of SALGA. And also, Chair, last time when we speak, but with Sarah Patnam as a whole, the issue of water is a problem. Even in Beas Nodie, the issue of water, I think in one of the areas, as last time I indicated that one of my ground forces and the speaker of the district wanted to know what do I mean by ground forces. One of my ground forces told me that in Stateville, in Dr. Beas Nodie, the issue of water is a really problem and it's affecting them big time. She's telling me that at some point, the water is only available in early hours, and the whole day the community stay without water. Maybe it will come back very late, so it's a problem. And here in one of the presentations, there is something that suggests that Dr. Beas Nodie was declared as a drought area. So I just want to get from the province and from the national and from SALGA, how do they deal with this challenge of being declared as a drought, as Dr. Beas Nodie? And this Eskom area debt, Chairperson, that is also reflect on the presentation of SALGA. If we can be told, how do they intend to address it? 161 million is a very worrisome. And also, SALGA is telling us that they have, this municipality is having 41 active cases of litigation, and 11 is likely to have a financial implications. As a result, 1.8 million has been identified. And in other presentation, I can't remember if the municipality presentation, they also talked about 79 million related to former Ikwezi was recommended at the council to be written off. When I was listening to Usis Bulelo, also talking about unfunded budgets that the municipality is also functioning with, it also brings a crisis, Chair. And now I begin to understand, that's why people from that municipality are saying that no, there's nothing that is positive that you are gaining from this municipality. And I can understand if they operate with unfunded budgets. And I also want to get a clarity from Moses Bulelo when he's saying that they are trying to resolve that matter in that regard. As a result, they have plans as a department to assist them. If you can also unpack what types of plans, how are they intended to get out of this quagmire situation sort of in this municipality? And she is also saying that because we wanted to also to know, because in the presentation, they also mentioned that there are consequence management, because we also, Chairperson, we can't just have a blanket approach on all these issues, as much as we understand that it looks like there are some more challenges thinking as a corner that are too much, but also have to get the clarity if there are consequences management. And at some point, they are saying that there is an MPEC who is much at work. But they are also recommending that some of the monies must be written off, and it will be processed, of course, after the MPEC is agreed, but there is no time frame that is attached. And the DC boards, because Ms. Bulelo is also alluding to that fact that they are also part and parcel of the DC boards. Can we get a clarification on that one? It must not just be a generalization of statement, so we can have a sense of what is happening in this municipality. Thank you very much, Chair. I'll just pause there for now.
Thank you, Honorable Mkalipi. Can I give this platform to Honorable Honevan?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, we did go through the reports, so there's just a few things, and Honorable Makilipi also touched on some of them. In terms of the cost relation to contractors and consultations, that amounted to 6.2 million, and yet the municipality have a budget that is unfunded. Can the municipality then explain what did the consultants do in terms of getting their finances correct, or was that 6.2 million a waste? Then they also have a security cost of 6.2 million. If they can clarify what that amount, can I say, entails for their security. Then in terms of Directorate of Infrastructure and the one report that we've got, it says that water is sourced from the farm OneWhip. Is there a service level agreement in place with the firm? And they say in the report that they experience challenges. What challenges do they experience? Because they do not allude to say what is the problems. And then in terms of your budgetary control and management, it says officials are not being held accountable for UIF and W. How many cases have been opened by SAPS, and what is the progress on them? I think the MM can allude us to that because it's his responsibility. Then on 3, it says service delivery not always done efficiently, effectively, economically, at the required quality, quantity, and the right time. Service delivery is the core of any municipality and prescribed by the Constitution. Therefore, they admit that they do not comply with the Constitution. People is the most important part of service delivery, Chairperson, as the people is the ones that implement all the plans that is being discussed. So with no delivery, not delivering services also has an effect on economic growth locally that have an effect on job creation on its turn. How are they going to motivate their staff to be more productive and implement all the master plans that has been drafted? We've listened to all the presentations. All of the presentations says that there is master plans being developed and so forth, but it doesn't help you have a plan and you cannot implement it because the people working for you is not willing to do so. Then on communication and client services, firstly, you say that limited customer care, high frustration levels, restricted capacity, staff not multi-skilled, telephones and correspondence inquiries seldom answered, no feedback on complaints, time delays in attending to complaints, building not conducive to customer care orientation service delivery, and departments and sections are working in silos. Chairperson, in terms of that, your Systems Act says that you have to have a mechanism for communication with the community, and I think that's a big part. And especially in this committee, I always go to Section 2 of the Systems Act, where it says that the municipality consists of three parts. The first part is the people working in the municipality, the second part is the politicians in the municipality, and the third part is the community. And they have to work together to make a successful municipality. So in terms of that, Chairperson, I want to know from the municipality, how are they going to get out to the community so they can get also involved in the business of the municipality if they cannot even have, they stated itself, telephones and correspondence inquiries seldom answered. So Chairperson, in terms of that, I think that's a big part of a municipality, communicating with your communities. I want to know from them, how are they going to rectify it and if they can give us time frames. Chairperson, I'll pause there. I'll maybe come back later. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Cornevan. Honorable Kaiser.
Well, thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to speak presentations. I want to ask on the legal cost if there were preventative methods as the municipality taken in ensuring that public money is not spent on legal fees, but focus on services. Secondly, Chair, I would like to ask about the failure of this particular case of amalgamation as to what then is the way forward in terms of taking action for liability of this particular amalgamation, because this is a failed amalgamation project. Perhaps the MDB could come and tell us what were the basis of the amalgamation. And I know that in my little knowledge, their mandate is to create special conditions for sustainable development and transformation of local communities through municipal and what boundary demarcation services, and serve as a knowledge hub for stakeholders to promote socio-economic development, access the capacity of municipality to perform their functions. And it does not come true that this has served to actually complete that mandate, Chairperson. And then Chairperson, I on the 65.3 million creditors, the debt owed to Eskom, SALCA, and the Auditor General, I would like to ask as to how much is owed to these municipalities by businesses and government departments, which would enable then the municipality to pay its debt, because we're often told about the problem, but we're not told as to how to come out of the problem. Would like to know as to how much is owed to municipalities by those entities, Chairperson. And then, Chairperson, speak about drought affecting the availability of water to the communities, water services infrastructure grant and funding for drought purposes, to refurbish the existing and build new water treatment works, as well as to drill boreholes. How many of these boreholes? There's 303 million that was allocated. How many of these boreholes were drilled, and what is the status of that? And then, Chairperson, you know that in Section 152.1D of the Constitution, the municipalities are responsible for the well-being of health in the municipality, to promote safe and healthy environment, and what have they done to improve the water quality? And perhaps I would ask the MISA as to in terms of vandalism that has been raised by Salga, what is the action that they've taken to mitigate this situation, this situation, which results in some shortfalls in terms of the provision of quality water to the people. And then, Chairperson, in terms of back and forth here, in terms of the MPEC on the municipal representation, they say they have 79 million related to 50 million referred to 79 million related to Ikwezi were investigated and recommended to council for a right of 50 million referred to internal audit to validate and submitted to MPEC for further investigation and consideration. What are the findings of the MPEC in this regard, together with irregular expenditure, and who are the people that are held liable for this irregular expenditure, which is nothing else but corruption, Chairperson? What consequence management in this regard? And you are saying that COVID-19 had an immediate impact on the ability of the municipality to maintain revenue levels. What other indications proves that the revenue levels were best before the COVID-19 pandemic? And then you adopted an unfunded budget. Colleagues have alluded to that. I'm not going to repeat that. What is the... Chairperson, if you read and understand the internal controls, it says that the implementation of the implementation of the preventive and detective controls assist with avoiding detective errors and fraud in transaction in transactions, resulting in a more accurate financial reports and achievements and management objectives. And then preventive controls are designed to avoid errors and fraud in transaction before they occur. The prevent invalid transactions from being processed and assessed and assets from being misappropriated. The example of the effective preventive control is the segregation of duties. The responsibilities of the authorizing transaction, recording transaction, reviewing transaction, and maintaining custody of the asset should all be performed by different individuals. What is the state of the municipality in terms of those preventive, all those controls, the state of the municipality in that? And then, Chairperson, lastly, I'm tempted to really ask about the spatial development of the municipality, whether it seeks to, in the development of housing, perhaps this question I can take it to the provincial the MSC, to then in the development of housing and the infrastructure in place and the facilities that are of crucial need in within communities, the recreation centers and so forth. What local economic development strategies have you put in place in this municipality to then allow for the improvement of job opportunities and the improvement of revenue collection in the municipalities while industrialization is in place. I think I'll pause there, Chairperson, for now. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Honorable Pleasant. Those are the hands that I have. Can we ask the teams to respond to the issues raised by the honorable members? Maybe let's allow the municipality to be the one that starts. Then it will be followed by Salda. Then if there's anything that then Copter votes provincially, nationally, and then it's going to be treasurer in that order. There were direct questions, Honorable Foss.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And let me appreciate the questions. I will respond to some questions and then refer to the officials some of the others which I may not have touched. Let me open in response to say the only beneficiaries of this amalgamation, according to my own analysis, is creditors and employees, because they were the main people who benefited, since the municipality has only been focusing on paying creditors. And we must understand that two of these municipalities were grade one municipalities, and they had to be paid now on a grade three municipality by the cost, or rather the there were no increase in revenue, mainly. That is the one thing. On the issue of consequence management, I am of the view, and I raise it in council, and the council agree, it should not just be a slogan that the consequent managers, but it should be actual consequences. When we started here, Honorable Chairperson, with this municipality, there was no, the labor relations were at a total collapse. There were no directors. There was never a director in any of these municipalities for corporate services. There were no qualified HR manager in all three of these municipalities. So labor was at a total down. So the question becomes relevant in motivating labor. For when we came in, we have appointed such staff to deal with the issues of labor. But we also, at the very onset, appointed a forensic investigator on our own as the municipality to investigate some things which we suspected were irregular, which were happening. And from that investigation, a report was submitted to our council with recommendations, which we implemented. And some of those people who were implicated in that report are not with the municipality anymore. And the rest of the document was given to the Hawks. The Hawks are still investigating some of the issues which came from that investigation. We are also with the internal disciplinary processes dealing with some of the recommendations still in the municipality. I must just say also, we appointed directors at the beginning, but we have dealt with two, because you can appoint on the basis of interviews and all the criteria, but when it comes to extra performance within the institution, then you will get disappointed. So as we appointed some directors, we have got rid of those who have not been performing, and we have got rid of two directors which were appointed, but then they could, after some time, we find that they are not helping us, so we get rid of them. It is one area where we have been seriously emphasizing the issue that there must be real consequences. Unfortunately, in some of the areas, we have been unable to enforce that. Because if you look around, most of some of the things which we are dealing with are coming from the previous municipalities. And some of, those people are not within the institution, or we can't find the documentation to deal with whoever is still around, especially the majority of the irregular expenditure. I don't want to shift things. They may also have happened some of this within our time since we started, but the majority of the irregular and expenditure and unauthorized is coming from the previous municipalities. But as you know, the AG don't start from a clean slate. We had to deal with all those areas, and most of the investigations are in relation to some of the irregular expenditures which we have inherited. That does not mean there are not which has occurred within the time of amalgamation. The other major challenge we are also facing in terms of our revenue collection, we nearly have more than 4 settlements which are directly supplied by ESCOM within our areas. And in those areas, we find it difficult to implement our credit control policies, which is a serious challenge. We have started to pay down. We have reduced the pensions from about 26 million. We are now at 11 million, and we intend to bring the pension fund up to date of the employees. We have a number of turnaround strategies. As one of the members was saying, we have a lot of plans in place, but to implement those plans also need funding to implement the plans. So I think our focus should be shifting now from generating plans, instead how to implement those plans and what's needed to implement the plans. Yes, indeed, the service delivery is our main function. One of the members of the committee have talked about service delivery. We are trying our best to deliver as best with the capacity and the resources we have within the institution. Water is indeed the biggest challenge. This drought has been with us since 2014. Our whole municipality is totally, as vast as it is, it's totally dependent on boreholes now. The Nueva Demoframinet was at a point dry to a level where you could play cricket in the dam. It then came up to about 16% and went down again. We are solely dependent on borehole water within the whole of the municipality, that 28,000 square kilometers we have informed you about. And if we don't get rain, even the boreholes can dry up. So we are rationing. It's true what the ground forces are saying. We are rationing in some of the areas. For example, where I am staying, it is for the past 4 to 5 years that we are being rationed. You get water a certain time of the day, and in the evenings it is totally off, and then we're in the mornings. It is for the past 4 to 5 years it's happening. And in state level, which the member is referring to, we have to start rationing even in the state level area, because the water from the source, which is coming from the water levels, has also gone down. So the issue of drought and the impact it has on the water availability is a serious matter, which has been raised through the SAGA report. And we do get support. We have been supported by the Department of Water Affairs and COPTA within the province in terms of ensuring that we do get water. We do have trucks with which we have been supported with, water tankers. But do you know, if you know the kilometers travel, now you must travel to take water from the closest source which you have and transport it to the other source, which is also a very costly exercise. But the water is not something you can attach cost to. When people are thirsty, they need water. So, for example, we had to transport water to state level, which the member has been raising, because of the challenges within the area and so on. So from where you transport water, you must also know that's also coming from borehole, from Willowmore, which we are already rationing. So the issue of drought is a real challenge, and the boreholes. And the members are correct. It is a very serious matter. on the issue. So, without notwithstanding the challenges, we are trying our best to deliver services under the challenging circumstances. I will leave the ESCOM debt for the officials to respond to. Yes, indeed, the unfunded budget. We have been working with Treasury in the province, Mr. Guija. The Treasury in the province is really supporting us. They are one of the departments which are continuously with Bayes Nobia in assisting. The plan was, the budget was adopted with a plan and forwarded. So it is indeed a challenge, as you can see from the presentations. I will leave the MPEC and the DC boards, because MPEC is really trying. We are trying to capacitate it and to support it, because sometimes you do have some challenges with the necessary support towards the committee with documentation and so on, but it is being addressed. The one thing which I can proudly say, we have been dependent previously on consultants for assisting us with our financial statements and everything. Those last submissions were done internally without the support of consultants. Our own internal staff drafted our financial statements and submitted them. And it is that internal capacity which has brought us to a point where we have a qualified audit, which are not something to celebrate. Now it is an improvement, but we would want to go beyond that and get an unqualified audit with our internal capacity, because we have spent, there has been money spent on consultants to assist us, but the outcomes were still disclaimers. But with our own staff, we have went from disclaimer to a qualification. The security cost will be explained by the CFO. Vanop is a private farm, for the information of the committee. Vanop is a private farm with a private owner. The former Pavian has been having long battles with this private owner, because the water of one of our towns, which is Willow, where I am, is coming about over 40 kilometers out of time. That water is coming from fountains there on that farm. And the farmer has been really difficult. In some cases, he didn't even want to allow our municipal staff into the farm. So there was a lot of legal challenges and so on. We have tried to engage with him since we established this municipality, but there's still some outstanding issues with the farmer in relation to signing of some documents, but the lawyers are engaged with the farmer. The motivation of staff, indeed, as I was saying, when we started in this municipality, labor relations were at a total collapse. We entered when everyone was fighting, tires were burning, protest was a daily occurrence. And there has been progress now. There is some point where there's engagements through the labor forum, notwithstanding the other challenges. And the appointment of senior staff have also assisted in creating stability and engagement with labor. I'm not saying it's perfect, but indeed we had the labor relations was totally non-existent in the municipality. Communications, that is an area we need to improve. We have established an app where we have established an internal and municipal rapid response team where when people submit complaints, we are trying to deal with matters. We also do get acknowledgement from the public on issues which we deal with, especially now with the storm winds which happened in Graaffreinet and so on. But I'm not saying it's perfect, our communication. We need to improve it. But however, I need to inform the committee, the vastness of this area and the mountainous areas and the ruralness, our reception is very poor. It is appreciated that there was no interrupters now with the reception of digital in our area. So we have a vast area, and we do have challenges with reception in our municipal areas because of its vastness and the mountainous. The debt owed to the municipality, the CFO will raise, and the quality of water, I will leave it to them. Infrastructure, housing, the infrastructure is, I must say, we are living in old towns. Scrafrenet is one of the oldest towns in the country, and the infrastructure was mainly at the time developed for a few. But now all our communities are still have to benefit from that infrastructure, which is dilapidated. We try with the limited resources we are receiving to upgrade where we can through the MIG, but it's not enough. It's collapsing some of it. That's why you will find there's a lot of blockages sometimes and some water interruptions because of the bursting of pipes. But our staff and our employees are trying their best. However, the challenges, we do not have the cash flow readily available when the infrastructure is vandalized or something is happening immediately, like a pipe burst. For example, a number of things have blocked for the past week, but we are trying under the circumstances. The revenue collection, as you can see, CFO will respond to that. And those which I've left out, I'll give over to the MM, and they respond to those things. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
MPEC Chair, can you respond to the question that Councillor DeVos said you're going to respond to? You can don't do that. We are in a meeting. We can't hear your private conversation here. Can the MPEC chair respond to the questions as raised?
You must keep thank you, Honourable the Chairperson, good morning, all protocol observed, and on the question raised by one of the committee members, let me straight go to the amounts being mentioned, especially of the last council meeting. The Chair?
So you are all good, the four of you, to infect each other there, because it's only one person who's wearing a mask. So you are all well and good. You can continue to infect each other and your leader. What message are you sending to society?
My humble apologies, Chairperson. Let me proceed then with the response to the question. That the report that was presented to council the other day on the issue of irregular expenditure. That the amount of 130,519,900 rand irregular spending, and that was for the period 2013-14 to June 2017, be reduced with an amount of 40,026,721 rand, which no more constitute irregular spending, as sufficient documents were found following the investigation of MPEC. That the remainder of the amount of 10,345,416 rand irregular expenditure for the 2016-17 financial year being written off following the explanation by the internal audit and also the CFO. That the amount of 79 million, that's the bulk of the question raised by the honorable member, that the amount of 79,028,780 rand irregular expenditure transpiring from the 130 million irregular expenditure for the period 2013-14 to June 2017 from the former Ikwezi local municipality, of which cannot be accounted for, be written off, as no documents can be found. Maybe, Chair, if you will allow me just to pause there. Three teams were sent to Ikwezi to investigate as to where the documents could be found. Unfortunately, that all three exercises were futile because no documents could be found. But it also needs to be mentioned, Jefferson, that MPEC can state it unequivocally that the municipality, in terms of that specific amount, there were men for money, and no losses were suffered by the municipality. And it is because of these reasons that MPEC made the recommendation to council that this specific amount be written off. And then, Jefferson, that the amount of 28,532,000 in retro expenditure for the financial year 2017-18 and 2018-19 financial years, investigated by internal audit, as per their report dated 22nd of April 2021, also be written off. And then there are the remainder of the amount of 27 million further be investigated by internal audit with report back to MPEC. Was that, Jefferson, there's still a batch of fruitful and wasteful expenditure also under investigation by internal audit, and I hope really that with our next meeting that specific two items will be attended to and be concluded. As I've already mentioned, Chair, that nobody can be held responsible. But we also need to check, Chair, because there was also a concern of impact, the issue of credible systems. Credible systems were put in place by management to prevent further irregular expenditure in future. And I've already indicated that the batch of fruitful and wasteful expenditure are still under investigation with the internal audit team. If need to, we will most definitely request assistance from provincial treasury. We also were very fortunate to be assisted by provincial treasury. I think that was in late 2018 and early 2019. And they assisted us also in terms of these investigations. I thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you. Can the MM respond to the issues that said the official will respond to?
Thank you, Chairperson. All protocol observed. There's a few issues that we'll respond to in appointed session. Firstly,
your name again for the purpose of the record, MM.
Is Eddie Rankwana. I'm the MM for the Bayes Nodier local municipality. Chairperson, if I was saying, you'll be responding directly because you need to give direct responses in terms of issues raised. Firstly, the consultants, the direct infrastructure will just give clarity on the 6.2 million consultants issue in terms of the water project. Also on the balls that were drilled, in terms of the security cost, we need to point out, Salga has already done so in the presentation, we have lots of vandalism in our municipality. And like in any other instance, in terms of the MFMA, we have to appoint a security company that's assisting us to look after our equipment and to try and prevent the vandalism that's taking place in our area. We're also going to just talk on the question of the legal costs. I need to point out, most of the legal costs emanate from things that happened in the former equation. We're still struggling to pay some of those issues, and it comes up regularly, Chairperson, to our municipality. Things are beginning to stabilize now, and it's not as regular as we used to have it in the municipality. So the legal costs, we have got the preventative measures in place where we are now much more careful when it comes to dealing with any issues that may have legal implications for us in this municipality. In terms of taking action for liability, there's no official in this municipality, including myself, who will not bear the consequences of any action that's taken that's causing liability to this municipality. So that, excuse me, we'll deal with, and we will make sure that we sort that out. There was a question with regard to the revenue collection and how much is owed. I can point out that businesses in this area, as of today, owes us 17.9 million. The residential areas, the communities, owes us 180 million. Government departments owes us 12.3 million. The farmers owes us 9.7 million. I must just hasten to add that this is a new account with the SS from the 1st of July. Okay. Can I continue, Chairperson? The quality of the water, the director will also address and just talk about that. The internal controls will be addressed by the acting CFO. Mr. Arms.
Good morning, Chair, all protocol observed. I'm Benny Arends, Director of Infrastructure Services. Chair, in terms of the 6.2 million that was raised, I can just indicate that we received 6.4 million from COCTA for the drought relief project. And that project assisted us in Dr. Bayer's idea, specifically for our net, with water provision. We encountered shortages, but when this project was implemented, it alleviates some of the challenges that we have. In terms of the balls check, the 303 million that's been mentioned, it's probably Wistler and also our big money. From that project, 38 balls were implemented, including a reservoir that was constructed for additional storage capacity. I must also highlight to the committee that the Neva Dam was empty. And as a result, the balls in the area have assisted us. And we really need to thank Waterfest for helping us, as well as COCTA and Sarah Bartman District Municipality. So in terms of water quality, we are sampling the water on a monthly basis, and we also submit our reports to the standing committees of infrastructure as well as the council. As a result, some of the water quality will be affected because of low recharge and low rain, but it is still within the parameters of science 241. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. All senior members of Parliament, Project Over Sports Reserve, our mayor, and politicians and municipal managers to you. With regard to internal control, we received assistance from provincial treasury in terms of advisor from national treasury, which was in our employ or with us, working with us for 24 months. The result of the support is evident in terms of the improvement of the last audit outcome. Obviously, during the testing of my audit, the external audit, they will check what has happened to our financial year. So the impact of the standard operating status and internal control that's been put in place was only effective for a portion of the 2019-20 financial year. Therefore, we have the view that we will have a much better outcome in terms of our internal controls for this financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Tim Bayes Nodi. Can we hand over then to Salga? Salda.
Hello?
Yes, proceed.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. As we've said earlier on, we really appreciate the opportunity to given to us.
We need to see you.
Yeah?
We still need to see you.
You still need to see me. Okay,
yeah,
let me try these things of Bundus to find me. I don't know how.
No? We thought you were better off.
Thank you very much. I'm saying let's once again appreciate the opportunity given to us as an association, and indeed we really appreciate this. And we could have not been here where we are now if it was not the joint efforts made by the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs and Treasurer in the Eastern Cape to deal with matters that affect that municipality. But also, of course, divorce, for him to accept to be thrown into the lion's den and swim for himself and try to find solutions on the difficulties that were not created by him, created by the policy perspective insofar as the direction the country wished at that time to follow, and believing that putting 1 + 1 is going to be 2, and not understanding that it can also be depending on where the one is put next to the other one, and that can be level. So the difficulties that divorce is facing there, and any other municipality that has been amalgamated with no support of whatsoever, both financially and making sure that the leadership in the municipality is able to render service to the community. It's a cause for concern, and really we really appreciate the commitment made by the provincial coctor of trying to relook into these amalgamated municipalities and challenges that are faced by these municipalities so that we design a different approach going into the future. Unfortunately, is divorce now accounting about that, but the persons that have taken decisions of putting 2 graves together and hope that there will be life, they are not accountable and they are nowhere to be found, and they can't explain why the allocation was not sent to that municipality, which it was a transformation grant that was supposed to be allocated to that municipality according to the plan and request that they've made. However, I must say, Chair, it has become very clear that the case of putting graves together without following a true thought processes, it has been shown very clearly in the Dr. Bernard Dier. That is a case that we need to rethink and relook on how we then position ourselves going into the future, expecting municipalities to render service to communities, expecting individuals that are deployed there to account on their action. It will be important to minimize mistakes that we create for them, which are not necessary mistakes, ultimately to oversee and instruments that do not have resources whatsoever, and make sure that that institution do account, do make sure that service is rendered without any stoppage or without any hindrance. So I think to us is a better lesson today, and we committed ourselves. We will continue engaging on this matter with the provincial government, COCTA in that area, and then the provincial treasurer, with an intention to find a solution on the difficulties that that municipality is facing, not out of their own choosing. Of course, in the course of work, there will be weaknesses that you will be seeing here and there, and we must better deal with those weaknesses. And that is why we appreciate the Department of Cooperative Governance and Treasury in that province to lend a hand in supporting that municipality and all other municipalities that are faced by this difficulty. Chair, the other issue probably, it might be an issue that resemble as the poor service and no water in that municipality. Probably it's important that at some point, not today, fortunately you are the lawmakers going into the future that you need to ponder around and ask critical, difficult questions to yourselves that what is the value for establishing water boards as a conduit in between the two spheres or three spheres of government that had a legislative and legal responsibility to render service. Isn't then a better way of dealing with this? So you can see it, it's Dr. Bears not here, and many other municipalities throughout the country, that there is a competition of responsibility in providing what it should be provided by the communities. Isn't it then a better time to relook on these issues so that you better reposition the governance as a whole, generally both at local, provincial, and national government, so that it's better responding to challenges? Because my understanding is that if you have a third man in between or run in between in the process, that run in between must make money out of his or her role, irrespective is a minimal or is a very serious role that the run in between is making. It is important that as we relook into the policies going into the future to reposition and repurpose local government to be a sphere of government that is closest to the people as already announced by constitution and be supported by all efforts in making sure that its success is therefore a success of a government as a whole and its failures is the failures of government as a whole, and use the intergovernmental relations framework in making sure that the government have ability to have a conversation, interact amongst itself, resolve challenges that are faced by our communities. And in so saying, Chair, we really appreciate the committee engaging us as an activist community that we have ever come across with, interacting with challenges that are faced by member municipalities and communities in our country. Indeed, is a matter that we really appreciate as an association. I think Lance is going to speak on matters of ESCOM and other related questions. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Councillor Stofile. COO, over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and also to members for the questions that were duly posed. I will limit my response to the ESCOM related question. And the question that was posed is within the context of the 161 million owed to ESCOM, what are the plans to settle those debts? Well, Chairperson, when we had the benefit of engaging with the municipality and that being an honest reflection, it appeared at the time that the municipality was improving on its collection rates as a starting point. But secondly, when we also reflected on the instances where the municipality had to enter into settlement agreements with ESCOM, they were doing so with a gun next to their heads and were forced to enter into arrangements that were clearly unsustainable. So what we are suggesting should be done, it is the obvious. It is in order to, which is acknowledged, to settle the debt owed to ESCOM on a sustainable manner, it would be affordability assessment is done that will then say, based on the current challenges experienced by the municipality and its financial constraints, vis-a-vis what it is generating from a collections point of view on a monthly basis, what is the most feasible amount that could be, in addition to paying the current account of ESCOM, what could be paid in addition thereto on a monthly basis to ESCOM? That is, one, affordable. Two, would be sustainable in the long term, meaning that ESCOM would have a bit more certainty around what it would receive, both on the current account, but also based on the outstanding debts owed to it from this municipality. So that exercise must be conducted so that we indeed come up with a settlement arrangement that would suit both parties, would be more sustainable, and would be less negatively impacted by this difficulty that the municipality was in the past always asked at a point of there being disconnections to pay a certain amount. They agreed to that, knowing that they would not be able to sustain those payments. So the idea is really to be have a sustainable, affordable payment arrangement and settle the debts duly with ESCOM. Obviously, we do acknowledge, as was indicated by the department, that indeed Cocktown specifically has come on board and assisted this municipality in those instances where they were having their heads with a gun next to it or their backs against the wall, in those instances came on board and assisted them. And that is appreciated, but we're looking at a long-term rather than a short-term solution. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Does the officials, either the HOD and DDG in Cocktown, want to say something?
I have my hand up, Chair, when time allows. It's Sonwabo Gqega from the Eastern Cape.
Okay.
No, thanks, Honorable. Thanks.
Repeat the other what the others have said, Neil, because I'm pressed for time. Don't repeat yourself, Neil, but proceed, PDO.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and good morning.
Okay.
Good morning to the rest of the leadership in the meeting. I thought I should, in addition to what Honorable Stoffel and colleague has raised, just pinpoint some of the things that, in our opinion, are pending, which require the committee to really apply its mind. One of them being the fact that, as a recommendation of the Local Government Week that we periodically convened with NSOP and National Assembly, it would be necessary, in my opinion, to revisit the approach we take in terms of analysis of Section 71 reports. And I'm raising this primarily in respect of how we should approach the demarcation process going forward. Because one of the issues that are necessary for the committee to reflect on is the fact that this municipality is part of the municipalities that have evolved from having what was called a DMA, plenary municipalities, and now we're sitting with both DMA and plenary municipalities being abolished. But the reality is that the actual physical space of that municipality necessitates a more substantive analysis of the area before it becomes determined as a new entity. Because one of the things that are inevitable impacts of redemarcation in all municipalities is the fact that you would have a municipality that is relatively stable. And as soon as a new entity is established, it becomes, it reverses back to the establishment phase. And as such, the suggestion that I really would like to pitch to the committee is that there should be a requirement for a demarcation process to introduce a baseline analysis of each of the municipalities to be brought together into one entity. And that would assist us in terms of saying, what is the current state of finances of that municipality? What are the implications insofar as the cost to some of the unavoidable implications of redemarcation, some of which include human resources? For instance, you have had two municipalities whose personnel had to be leapfrogged from being paid at grade one to grade three, which is what the mayor has already intimated. And that's not only a case of salary.
it also has implications insofar as the number of employees you will have, the role each employee will have, the pensions and all other benefits that municipal employees qualify for. So we really wanted to impress upon the committee to make time to have a strategic reflection on what should be in the redetermination or redemarcation process, which must be a sufficient basis for determination of a new municipality. Among such elements would be, to what extent will a new municipality impact on the quality of democracy? For instance, how likely are future ward councillors in the new municipality going to be able to service the redetermined constituencies in terms of wards? And how is that new determination going to impact on the ability of citizens to access their municipality? The situation in Beyersnot really requires that the committee must reflect on that. It would have been useful for us to get a sense as to what was the analysis of the Section 7.1 reports of the actual financial years where missing millions are being raised by the municipality. And that would, in our view, form the baseline for any kind of investigation. I do want to remind the committee that there's a resolution that was taken from our recommendation that perhaps it would be useful to have more eyes looking at Section 71 reports than Treasurer. And therefore, the committee should really reflect on that aspect. And lastly, it cannot be that we having agreed, because I have not heard anybody disagreeing with our view that we had flawed assumptions insofar as the local government white paper in relation to the ability of municipalities to generate revenue and the actual capacity of the base, the revenue base, to provide the projected revenue by each municipality. And ignore all of those elements and assume that a municipality will be able to generate sufficient revenue insofar as future sustainability is concerned. So I just wanted to raise those elements as elements that perhaps, because this is only a demarcated, a pilot case, and we're hoping to implement the same model across municipalities in providing support, it would be useful for the committee to reflect on those elements so that we are in a position to operate with in mind and understanding as to what are the views of the committee in terms of these elements. And there's a whole host of other things, Honorable Chair, that we can talk about, including exposure to litigation. We knew that as a country we had health as one space that the legal fraternity saw as an opportunity. We have a similar situation in local government, and I hope the committee will apply its mind on those realities. It's not only Beyersnot, it's across the sector that lawyers seem to have identified the sector as one possible area where they can make easy money. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, PDO. Indeed, you have thrown a food for thought. These are the matters that we definitely have to carry forward. I ask the HOD with our free charity if there are issues that they want to raise before I allow but the political heads, I'll give them time at the end.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just to say, Honorable Chair, we really did try our level best in terms of assisting in terms of drought, but we believe that that's an interim measure. But what we have done was to have an approach where we pull in National Treasury. We also pull in because the problems of Nelson Mandela of drought does have an effect at Sarah Batman. Then when we pull them in to discuss as to what do we do for the challenges of Nelson Mandela, we also said we cannot isolate Sarah Batman in concentrating at the challenges faced by those municipalities through drought. But the difficulty that we had earlier on was the classification of that area of Nelson Mandela, which would be inclusive of Sarah Batman, as a disaster area. But I think in 3 weeks ago, we managed to succeed in talking to the National Disaster Management Center to begin to look at that with an eye of a disaster area. That classification then was done, and we will be looking whether we cannot enforce the broadening of that kind of a classification. But I think that in terms of trying to do our level best, I think it has been indicated, and I'm saying this thing, Chair, that we're doing whatever we can try to do with the limited resources we're having, understanding fully well that providing for an interim relief for a challenge of drought will not help us, hence we are pursuing this route of having a longing solution, because as well, investors are threatening to leave that area of Nelson Mandela, inclusive of Sarah Batman, if we don't do hard in making sure that the issue of water is attended. Otherwise, thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. SOD Finance and our civil law, anything you want to comment on?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. SOD will come if I've missed anything. Chairperson, I'll respond to the question that was asked by the Honorable, I think Honorable Khalid, around the funding, unfunded budget, a reflection on the municipality. Yes, Chairperson, under normal circumstances, the budget of the municipality is supposed to be informed by the revenue collected, and the indication is normally that the revenue will be overstated and expenditure understated. But we assisted the municipality to develop a credible funding plan, which we can share with the committee, we can email to the committee, which covers the areas that the municipality would has indicated to say they are currently, their revenue collection is at 78%, and they are committed to collect around 95%, and informed by the following issues, Chairperson. The municipality has established a qualified debt collector, and they have the key issue in municipalities across the country, but I'll talk about the Eastern Cape. Out of the 21 billion owed by owed to municipalities for services rendered, 16 billion in the Eastern Cape is households. With your support, can be sourced, Chairperson, in terms of awareness campaigns. And if Dr. Bears is one of the victims, as the MM was saying, 118 is owed by residents. In terms of their funding plan, Chairperson, they have identified 3,000 top residents that are not paying, which they are going to focus on to increase their revenue. We've looked at it. They've got a deadline of the 31st of August to have issued letters to those. Also, they've, with the support of DBSA, as the executive has indicated, they have got an enhancement and a revenue enhancement strategy to DBSA. Also, Chairperson, they have identified some parcels of land that they are going to sell, and already they have issued the advert on that. That is going to assist them. Chairperson, with the issue of Eskom, I think it was the, I'm sure whether it's Mr. Gress that was talking about the analysis of the budget of municipalities, whether they can afford it, because Eskom has got a tendency of imposing a repayment plan to municipalities even if they cannot afford. Also thinking that the municipalities are subsidizing their operational expenditure through what has been paid by the households or the beneficiaries, which is not the case. We tried to explain to them last week, and we asked them to give us a list of top municipalities that are owing them. We are going to do an analysis of the budget and affordability before they can impose, so that we can say the municipalities that we think they can pay this amount cannot afford. Here's the situation. We structure now together with culture and SALGA a repayment plan that is affordable for the municipalities. The other thing that they're looking at is to address the issue of the electricity losses and water losses, Chairperson. The MM, the executive mayor, has talked about aging infrastructure, which they are busy revamping. It's going to counteract the losses or reduce the electricity losses. Also, Chairperson, the amalgamation, a challenge of incorporating those employees that were in those institutions, elsewhere institutions. One of the issues that they are going to address in the plan is to review the organogram structure that is going to be fit for people. And they are looking at reducing it by 25%, but that one, we said, it's not going to be, it's going to be a, sort of a long term because it involves employees. Also, the chairperson, they have reduced it over time. It's in the budget, which are monitoring effective from end of this month, end of August, because we need to also report to National Council on the implementation, because they normally have these plans, but what is key, that's why that we put it, said they must put the time frames to them.
Also, there was an issue raised around the role of MPACs in terms of addressing and disabled in terms of irregular expenditures. What we're saying is, much as those irregular expenditures have been written off, there must be a process, a consequent management. Yes, they've responded to MPAC chair about it, those that were at EQUASI, where you cannot get the documents, but it cannot be the same right through. It's what now we're trying to, the disabled is trying to assist them on. But unfortunately, because of the COVID-19, the disabled couldn't sit regularly as expected. But I've seen a letter, because we're making a follow-up, we've seen a letter of the chairperson inviting members to sit, to look at those now that have been written off.
Thank you very much. Also, the issue of ESCOM, the court case, was serving in the arbitration. That is trying to solve the issue of ESCOM and the municipality, in which they are expecting about 38 million through the wheeling agreement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Is the HOD still wanting to say something? HOD? Or she cover, you are covered by the DDG? Is the HOD still on this meeting? I personally can't see him on the list. Okay.
He is in the list, Chairperson, at Dalushlanga, at iPad, but I'm going to check there, just below Charity.
Yeah. So why is he quiet? You're closer to each other in terms of the... Then we'll have to skip him then. Your HOD is not speaking, I'll see Bulelo. I don't know why.
He's saying he's got a connection problem. Chairperson, I'm just calling him, but he's saying I've covered everything, but he's saying he's got a connection problem now.
Okay, fine.
Thank
then
you.
Then did we give for six? Did you foresee?
Honorable Chair, thanks. I think, Chair, we are covered by the inputs and the responses by the colleagues. Thank you very much.
Okay. Can I allow the MEC of Finance to start? Then it will be followed by the MEC of Cobblad. Then we'll have to hear the Deputy Minister in that order. Because there are also issues that the PDO Saiga has raised that are very critical and crucial, that I think they need your political intervention. MEC Finance.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. The challenges of BS Nodier will take a long time to be resolved as a result of what was reported here by Salga, COCTA, and both provincial departments. One of the reasons that they will still be in this problem is because they're a municipality that has got a very low revenue base, the poverty stricken area, and they have a lot of debts from the previous local municipalities. But what is encouraging is to hear that they have their governance structures are in place. That is very encouraging. But what I would also want to let you on the collection, Chair. I know that many municipalities would submit claims for departments not paying. And as provincial treasurer, we follow on all of that for many municipalities within the province to encourage them to pay. We have been charged with that task and we do follow up. But I would want to request them to make sure that they provide the breakdown that is needed mostly, because the municipality will say to you, we owe 20 million, we've got experiences. When you go and analyze, you find you owe them 3 million. But if they still encounter that situation, they must write to Treasury about it and would attempt to assist. Of importance is that we need to continue with the support that is given to this municipality for it to turn up, to turn the corner. And I think the assistance of this portfolio committee chairperson is also of importance, because the report that we will generate out of this will be able to motivate for further support for this municipality. The mayor mentioned in a matter that I thought I should just raise before I conclude, about a water challenge with a farmer. My understanding is that all minerals and all water in this country belongs to the state. The state is the custodian of that. So if there are issues of this nature, they need to get in touch with the department that deals with water, Department of Water. I don't know what is it now called. It used to be Water and Sanitation, the Department of Water. They need to get in touch with them so that they do not enter into an agreement with the farmer at the end that will be costly to them, when the department that deals with water could have actually assisted them. And lastly, I think we need to commend the improvement in the audit outcomes, because judging by what we see, how the municipality started, there is an indication that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But they just need to ensure that they tie the loose end to make sure that they graduate. I have not heard about the district municipality's support, Honorable Chairperson. I might have missed it. But I think one of the missing links here is how the district municipality is assisting the municipality to turn the corner. I am not saying they are not. Maybe they were just omitted in making a presentation. And if they are, I think they need to get closer to the municipality to assist, because we do not foresee that the challenges that they have now will be resolved very soon. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, you've raised a very valid point, MEC. They will submit that to us in writing. At least the mayor is here of the district. We'll have to get that report that says what is it that they are doing to support this local municipality. It must be done in writing. MEC Ngata, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think with the HODs and the DDG4C and other comments, including the MEC, I think that I am covered, just to express my appreciation. And I think that our collaboration has underlined the correctness of the approach of government in terms of the district development model approach. Of collaboration and integration. And I think that as we deal with these problems facing municipalities and they're trying to turn around the Yasno Dam municipality, we must just intensify. For us to read in a one page, ensuring that we collaborate, use the little resources that we have more effectively and efficiently. And I'm quite confident that however difficult the task seem to be, but with collective effort, with the oversight role and support of the committee, hopefully the committee can secure more resources, for COCTA and to do this kind of support that is so much required. Thanks very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you. E.M. Similani Nkadime.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
I want to put you on the spot. You've heard your former colleague, Sonwabile. raising issue around the white paper. Can we hear from the brand new DM? Now that you are from there, what is it that the department is going to also do to make sure that this 1998 white paper, gets issued and revised?
It's true, Chair. I think it may be that the DG4C might have not articulated on it. The process in terms of, I mean, I had a meeting with the DG as well yesterday, which is one of the areas where she was able to touch on how we could move forward to accelerate the issues of not only the white paper review, but quite a bit. I mean, for example, your Property Rates Act review also needs to be done. It's just that you can't do everything at the same time. You need manageable chunks. But with regard to the case in question today, we also may want to assist the municipality with the financial reform strategy of how sustainably may they be assisted to continue. I mean, Pile was making notes on our chat box here, indicating, for example, the issue of level 1 versus level 3 payments. This is going to be a permanent problem. So if the municipality is not assisted to be able to cover up in a sustainable manner, it means such debt will be persistent. A report I know has been sent to Bears Not Yet, so that there could be an interaction coming from the side of PLA. And that's a starting point, because we need to do this calculation. And Honorable Chair, it's not only in this amalgamation. In fact, all amalgamations are facing such types of problems. Of course, in terms of levels, there could be differences. Some municipalities are able to absorb the cost, putting more pressure on households, but they are able to float and be above the water. So the current debt is one of the issues which my colleague Mlungisi, I think, has raised as well. I think, Chair, we may have to relook on how we are assisting municipalities with regard to the payment of debts. I see no reason why we can't, in a collaborative manner, why we can't at least collect the 90-day due debt to these municipalities. Yes, the old debt, which needs to be cleaned, which needs to be verified and all that, yes, it could delay. But I don't see a reason why departments can't pay their current debt to municipalities as me and you pay our debt on a day-to-day basis or on a month-to-month basis. But also, I did not hear very much, which I think is our responsibility as COCTA now, to assist the municipality to apply its credit policy, management policy in terms of revenue enhancement and review. Because if you don't collect it and you don't make the department feel the pay, they're not going to pay. It's proven they're not going to pay. You sit in that forum for a long time. This month they say this debt is wrong. You go and cleanse it. They say no, we still have. They send different people into that committee. It never moves. It never moves. We have the Eskom PTT one. It never moves as well. So we need to get to entice municipalities to begin to put their policies and collect. Switch off. The department will come onto the table. I will not touch much on the audit plan, Chair. It has been touched on, but it is important that the collaborative effort, the district, the MEC, ourselves, SAGA, assist the municipality to ensure that they live by the audit plan. I've made a note with regard to the water issues. Unfortunately, we're supposed to have the joint MINMEC this week, but because of the changes that is joint between water, Department of Water and Sanitation and COCT. But Chair, I think this is one of the issues we will be able to raise, myself and DG Force, on behalf of the municipality, so that they could be able to solve collectively all the water issues that are a problem. I think the issue that has been raised by Sonwa with regard to how the municipality
is trying to finalize and get themselves out of a problem without much assistance at the national level could also create much more problems in future. Under administrative issues, Chair, we may have to review the amalgamation process in its entirety. And I think Bears Nodier is a very classical case of how we need to go back ourselves as COCTA, as ALGA, and sit down with our partner, the MDP, Municipal Demarcation Board, to ensure that we begin to have a process that will give an outcome that could be sustainable. As Councillor Stofile said, someone amalgamate, but somebody else has got to be responsible for answers on how they need to take the municipality forward. And there has not been reviews from the MDP in municipalities that they have amalgamated, either in the 2016-10 or in the previous one. And it does seem to look like we have more problems and difficulties in amalgamation, and we need to have clear-cut support strategies which are aligned possibly to Section 154, as well as what SALGA and other stakeholders could be able to do to assist municipalities that have been amalgamated, including national and provincial treasuries, because quite a lot of such issues also have financial implications in them. I think that's where I will end, Chair, on the three broad, four categories of the issues, but financial cooperation being one of what we need to champion and look into how we deal with the water issues as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DM. Mr. Ted Pillay, we know that you are seconded to Sunday's River. And like what the DM was saying on your chat group, you said you are going to give us a report on the support that you are providing to the locals. Yeah, because of the time constraint, you can send it to us latest by Tuesday. We're going to incorporate this on our report. I don't see any other end of the colleagues, or maybe they're waiting for me to call for follow-ups. Colleagues, oh, the hands have come back. They were waiting for me to do that. Honorable Fleza, you begin, followed by Honorable Mukalipi, in that order.
It's a woman's month, Chair. You can't start.
I'm the chairperson.
You'll start in September. How?
Hold on, Fleza, proceed.
Yes. No, we recognize women and their safety.
That's why it's given an opportunity to ask us.
Yes. we recognize them, their safety against us, who are dogs, beating up women and doing all sorts of verbal abuses to women and so forth. Chairperson, I want to caution the municipality about the 2000 Millennium Summit. Central to that summit was the question of the eradication of poverty. And central to the eight goals of that particular Millennium Development Goals is the question of water. And central role, the central role of water, it says that the central role of water in human and physical development and its intrinsic value in sanitation, health and poverty reduction was formally recognized in that. And those goals were said to have been achieved in 2015. What is the year now? And I think that we have to have a serious dialogue of how do we deliver quality water to people. And there's the municipality is even closer to the sea. I've not heard them talking about new measures to exploit that. I've not heard anything towards, apart from the immediate measures, which are fine. Always to talk, we will always talk about the water dangers in this committee. I do not know for how long. What is the sustainable solution to this drought issue? It seems like we are hitting the wall every time we talk about this issue, and then we are wishy-washy and we don't have a sustainable solution. And it's a problem. Because we have a responsibility to adhere to what the Constitution is saying in section, in the objects of local government, section 152D, all sections there. So I plead the municipality to just go back and deal with those issues, and thus improvement of the delivery of these services to their people. Otherwise, there is no reason for them to exist, or any other municipality. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Trevor. Honorable Mkalipi.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Happy Women's Month, Chairperson. Chair, I just want to suggest some few way forward in terms of the challenges that is faced by Dr. Beas Nodie. I welcome the input of the DM. It shows that she has been in this field for a longest time. And what I have noticed as well is that the former DM, Gau, was also the president of SALGA. And now our DM was the president of SALGA, replacing a DM Dow. So Nyalandelana, PhD, MEC Dow. So you are welcome. So I think, Chairperson, the first of all, we must have a short-term measures and long-term to address what is being identified as difficulties in that municipality, the issue of water. In SALGA's presentation, they are specifying, saying that one of the major challenges is the aging of infrastructure. So DM, if I was hearing you very correctly, to say that there was supposed to be a Minimac meeting that was supposed to take place, but it has changed. So please look at this issue broadly, because it's not the only municipality, which is Dr. Beas Nodie, that is having such challenges. Chair, you'll attest and then agree with me and committee members that the issue of aging infrastructure is happening in the whole country, and it needs to be addressed. Because one fails to understand why all the municipalities will just wait until they have an infrastructure that is aging. It does not make sense. It does not make sense. And they have to wait, I don't know for whatever reason, but I suspect that one of the reasons is the corruption that is taking place in all municipalities. So it must be addressed, DM. It must be addressed. And the second one is that if there is a problem of shortage of water in this particular municipality that you are dealing with, people must not suffer, DM, and the leadership of the municipality and the province. I think that one of the proposals, you can also arrange water tanks and go and address that issue of water that people found themselves in when they don't have water. As I was earlier on, saying that in Stateville, people are saying that they are suffering the most. I don't know in other areas in Dr. Beas Nodie. But I think that we must also provide water tanks. I'm not sure if the municipality can also commit to themselves to that one. The second one, Chair, I think we still have to proceed. We need to get, I think this is the DDG force, who can also help in this regard, to get a complete report of all municipalities who are saying that they are experiencing the aging infrastructure. And we must come and have a dedicated time to engage with that report from National and MISA to come and also talk to that effect of the aging infrastructure and what needs to be done, because it's not only this municipality, it's happening in the whole country. And Councillor Stofile was very correct to challenge us. We call ourselves as legislators, but this thing of water boards, I remember Councillor Stofile, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Chair, there is a court ruling in that regard about water boards. I think we need to invite, the DM can engage with the new minister as well about these water boards, because it also posed a challenge as well. So I think, Chair, the issue of amalgamation, as the DM was also alluding to that fact, is not only Dr. Beas Nodi. I think we need to get a clear report from the Municipal Demarcation Board, the Chair. Babu Manyoni must also tell us what is really happening. Why are we having this crisis everywhere? I know for a fact that this is not the first municipality that you are engaging with. And SALCA has come very strong in that regard as well. One of the challenges that this municipality, which is Dr. Beas Nodi, is also complaining is because of that arrangement. So we need to understand the work of the Municipal Demarcation Board and how do you go forward to resolve this issue. There's only one municipality when we met with KZN Chairperson. The municipality, I can't remember, but I think is in KZN, if I'm not mistaken, whereby the MEC of KZN said no, the only solution to this municipality is also to ensure that they also fall under that category of amalgamation. But the rest, the report that we received from SALCA, from everyone, from COCTA, from the province, is that it seems as if it's not working out. So it needs to be addressed, PM, when you sit in that strategic platform. And then the last one, Chair, I think the municipality have said that they don't get a proper support from the district, which is Sarah Batman, and from the province. The province is also trying to come to the fore, but they also stopped their support to the municipality. They must not suffocate alone. The crisis that they are finding themselves in, it needs all support from the provincial COCTA, from the provincial, from the district itself, and from the treasurer in the province. They must give them support, because at the end of the day, they are going to blame you, saying that, no, we are just suffering here as this municipality. And if I was listening very correctly, I can't remember the comrade who was speaking here, the one that spoke very long time, Chair, and then you said, you know, he has spoken very well when he was saying that, you know, some of the problems of this municipality in Katatu, it's not on their own making. It's also is the problem that is emanating from Kebeha. So therefore, it needs the support from the provincial COCTA to look at these issues. It's unfair that some of the things that the Dr. Biasno Diaz, they are suffering from, it's also emanating from another municipality. So it means that it needs to be addressed in that regard, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mkale. I should think before I allow the colleagues to quickly wrap up, because we'll have to excuse the SALCA team now that they have passed. I think Councillor Stofile has raised a very critical issue that we need to attend to seriously, because in terms of the powers and functions, there are district municipalities and local municipalities who are water service authorities. And then I've done my own study and research on this matter. You find these water boards now is seemingly taking this water service authority status of municipalities, because my understanding was that water boards are supposed to be implementing agents for the Department of Water and Sanitation. But in some cases, you find that roles and responsibility are overtaken. I don't know whether it is a consequence of also our colleagues in local municipalities who seem not to understand what is their role, or you allow them to do that because now they're playing the piper pays the tunes, in the sense that you think then if you allow them to even overlap on their mandate, and maybe money will come. So I really don't know what is it, but I think that's a very critical point that we need to seriously deal with it. The other thing, the announcements by the demarcation board, but you must also recall that on this amalgamation, it's a pity most of the MECs that are currently sitting now, they inherited this. There's a place where in MECs in the province grant concurrence. And then it's just that we don't have time. Maybe we could be able to recall all the, those MECs to see, but what was in your mind? What were you thinking when you allow processes like this? Because if indeed we are preaching cooperative governance, there's no sphere of another, no sphere of government that can impose on another sphere to say, by hook or crook, we are forcing you to merge these three municipalities without looking at the consequences of that. Because the reality is this, colleagues, we have attended to all amalgamated municipalities. The only thing that they can successfully tell you a story about is that they've managed maybe to deal with the issue of HRS, a councillor. The fourth was saying to say, there isn't much that we can say. The people on the ground, our constituencies have benefited out of this amalgamation. It's just the people who are in the structure. It's either it's human resources that the others now, they are no longer from level one municipality. They are going to be level three paid. But at the end, because the other consequence of this amalgamation DM is that people who used to get services closer to them, now they are forced to travel. In where I'm seated here in my region, there are areas since the amalgamation, they've never got services from the new entity. The other time, I was even asking them, MM of this new entity, he didn't know of certain areas that are within his area because of consequence of amalgamation. So if indeed you were to interview the people, they will tell you, all of them, that's why now when you listen to the demarcation board, there's been a lot of people who have written back to say we want our municipalities back. So these are the consequences of our decisions that we sometimes take. But it be made as it be, I think I want to appreciate the hands-on support the MECs, MEC Mlungisi Mvoko and MEC Toli Lengata that are providing to this municipality. So this is the matter that as you are proposing, colleagues, we need to call in back the demarcation board, call in the ministry, DM, Kadiming, to say that in future, instances of this will never happen. But nevertheless, is there anyone from SALGO who want to say something quickly before you leave? So that we can then allow the MECs to finish up and the DM. The DM is also leaving to attend the same visit to the CEO's office. So is there anyone of you who wants to leave, who wants to say anything before you leave? Yes, Councillor Stofile.
No. Thank you very much, Chair. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Being audible, we must see you as well.
You can see me now.
Not yet.
Let me go to the card. Okay. Hello, Chair.
Not yet.
I'm not visible. Lance, what is happening here?
Yes, yay.
Siyabubona, Peggy. Stofile, umuhle.
It's good to get that from
make him black, man.
Chair, I think I fully agree.
Remove that thing of yours now. It has blocked you. The finger is the end. Oh. Yeah. There you go. So.
I fully agree, Chair, with the issue that's first. We are where we are because of choices that were made and choices that were made. It was the choice of policy that has made us to be where we are and have grave sites that are unable to service our people. It was the choice of a policy through legislative processes that made sure that municipalities are put together. It is a point that we really said it is important for us to relook at it and really deal with it, because it has never really served the purpose of putting these municipalities together with the hope that there will be a better service.
I think your network is failing you. Switch off that video. Let's hear.
I'm okay now, Chair.
The network is failing him completely.
Okay. No, yeah. Thank you very much, sir. No, I'm saying I appreciate that. We wish as an association, to have time to debate and discussions about how do we then go forward. Using the one debate that we had under the stewardship of Honorable former Deputy Minister Parks Tau. In the committee, there was an understanding of creating and understanding what we understood of a cooperative governance system in South Africa. What we understand of this animal called cooperative governance. I think we need to go back and relook into that. And yet we are also a little bit happy of what we are seeing in the Eastern Cape, at different departments working together. And trying to provide service in the municipal space. It's one area that we really appreciate. And secondly, we are looking forward for further engagement on numerous matters that are facing local government at large. That inclusive of water, and including looking into the water politics of our country. After 20 years or 27 years of democracy, there are areas where there is no water whatsoever, but we are celebrating 27 years of our democracy. Yet, our instruments are not responsive to challenges that are faced by our people. The robbery that is taking place in the municipal infrastructure, if you look into the municipal infrastructure that is used by water boards through the structures that they have, using the infrastructure of a municipality, that they have never capitalized, they have never invested on it. It was taken over by these services, and there are no resources paid back to these municipalities, including servitudes that are using, including the matters pertaining to Eskom insofar as electricity supplies to our communities. It is matters that we must seize every moment that we have to deal with challenges that we are facing, so that we complement one another and move as a single government in rendering service to our people. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. DM, can I excuse you? You want to say something before you leave?
No, Chair. Thank you very much.
I can excuse the Felger team and then allow the two MECs to respond on the issues as we head towards the closure of this meeting. MEC Mulungisi Mvoko, any other last words?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me take the opportunity to appreciate participating in this meeting and appreciate the efforts and by the portfolio committee to try and address some of the challenges that are faced by our municipalities. Perhaps my parting shot would be, I think if there are any further amalgamations in the municipalities, the COCTA at national level should find a way of making a deliberate effort to have an allocation to assist those amalgamated municipalities. Because the challenges they face during after amalgamation, mostly are financial, and because of the what they have taken over in some of the smaller municipalities. So COGTA must, after being consulted and before declaring municipalities as amalgamated, also make sure that when they budget, they put they have an allocation that is going to assist the municipalities, you know, to address some of the challenges they make. Other than that, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, MEC. MEC Ngata.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me appreciate as well the opportunity. Just 2 points. To underline and express my support on is the whole issue of re-looking at the amalgamated municipalities. It's quite important for COGTA to do that because the problems might be structural, such that no matter how many resources you pump in, you cannot turn around that institution. It needs to be reconstituted as a different entity altogether. So re-looking at the amalgamated municipalities is a very important thing. And then the second point, which is my last point, is the whole issue of the funding model. The funding model, of which only about 9% in terms of allocation go to local municipalities and to municipalities, and yet that's where the need is. And therefore, we must relook at the issue of funding model so that we begin to allocate resources accordingly as a country. Other than that, Honorable Chair, thanks very much.
Thank you, MEC. I should say these matters are ongoing. Ted today is committed to give us the report on the support and then the issue of Section 71 reports analysis. I think we need to look at that. Then we have agreed on the matters of the legislations that also need to be revisited. And then this matter that is ongoing that will still need to follow up on the progress that collaboratively, like this is a classical example of where we said maybe this is a time for us to then say indeed this development model is working. I think I must express my gratitude to the two colleagues, the two MECs from the province. Throughout, whenever we call you to the meeting, you all come. And your commitment in making sure that our municipalities in the province work is one thing that we want to appreciate as a committee. Also to thank the SALGA team for always being available. And then we need to excuse you. You are still here, Lance. You said you want to leave 12:30. We want to appreciate you that even during this difficult time when you are supposed to be supporting your colleague, you are here, you prioritize the work of the committee. And then as I close, I still need to again confirm my colleagues who are in the meeting, Honorable Direko, Peace, Mukalipi, Grunewald, Kreza, whom did I miss? Yes, as we close the meeting, those are the members that are here. And then I want to also thank you, colleagues. You know, at some point we stretch a lot, but you are always here available because here we've got the common objective to make sure that our municipalities work. I want to thank the HOD for COGTA in the province and the team. Thank the HOD for finance in the province and the team. To thank you, DDG4C and the team, including your colleagues from MISA, for making yourself available. I believe we've got a sizable number of the official delegation in this meeting, which is much appreciated because it's evident that we have a collective effort to make sure that our municipalities work. Thank you so much, colleagues. The meeting gets adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mkalipi.
Thank you. Bye, Chair.
So when are we voting for the speaker?
On the 19th.
On the 19th.
Yeah, we are all going to Cape Town.
All of us.
Yeah, everyone.
On the 19th, we are all going to Cape Town.
Yeah.
We are privileged to have you in that committee. Now we know how to prepare ourselves.
Yes, Chair.
Hello, Stara.
Hello, Molo, Mama Faith, Kunjani.
Kunjani, Stara.
Hello, Stika.
Alright.
Diphilile, Mama Faith, Kunjani, Kuni.
Right.
What's up, Stika? How are you?
Diphilile, Ground Force, Kunjani.
So no, she's your ground force. I didn't know that. She's your ground force.
Ground force.
Dr. Beth Nodi.
Yeah. No, Lungile.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.